Good evening. Welcome to Stanley Heights Boundless Church. That was hymn number 527, Glory to His Name. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 527, Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where the Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of blood.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight we celebrate together the Lord's table. So I'm looking forward to what God has for us. First tonight, if you are a guest for the very first time, we have for you a connection point booklet that'll be a guide for you. So if you'll raise your hand, just as our ushers pass by, they'll give you your copy. You'll see a guest card with that booklet. If you'll complete that with a street address or an email address, put it in the offering box to your right or behind you. When you leave, we'll send you a thank you note. Thank you for being our guest here at Stanley Heights. Let me just make note of a few announcements that you will need to know about. How many of you have either in your car, your purse, on your person somewhere, how many of you have some of these invitations for Family Matters Conference and for the Fall Family Festival? Who has these? Okay, good. Some of you do. That means others of you have some homework to do. But you don't even have to go home to do your homework. Your homework is on your way out. Let's pick some of these up on your way out and have them available so you can invite people to be our guest in the family conference, of course, upcoming. Then I want you to know about that. And of course, you will see other things that will be taking place this weekend. Of course, the teen retreat. Dr. Young will be preaching there. Then he'll be ministering all throughout our Family Matters Conference as well. Then tonight after church, there is a young adult class, a pizza party. The youth ministry has a snack at the Mims house tonight. So you'll just be reminded about all of those things. And of course, deacon nominations, it's that time of the year. So you will want to just be part of it and praying about what God would have you to do in nomination and the Lord to move those men that are that He would have to serve. All right. So with that said, let's say Isaiah 41:10, then I will pray. We're learning that we overcome fear and worry by faith. Lifting our voices to say Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a great job, everybody. You did a great job. And like you did this morning, you pulled me through. So thank you very much for that. Let's have prayer, and then you can be seated. So, Lord, we come to you tonight asking for your help. We look forward to this table that brings us to union and communion with you and brings us even into communion with one another. And so we pray, Lord, that as we pray, even tonight coming to this table, that your Spirit would freely work in us as we come. We I don't know if we can think of this table without telling you, Lord, that we do love you. And when we think of it, your love for us, it just abounds. And so our hearts, we respond to you and ask you would help us to love you more. And so we pray, oh God, that tonight would be joyful, convicting, that whatever you want to do in our time together tonight, that you would do it, and we rejoice in everything you do, and our confidence is in you. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Hymn number 179, Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, holy sacrifice, behold.
Page to hymn number 177, What Wondrous Love Is This? Let's stand together and sing 177, What Wondrous Love Is This?
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down, when I was sinking down, sinking down, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul.
As many of you know, this week, Pastor will be leaving. He's going to have officer training school up north, and we want to have a prayer of dedication for that. And Brother Ken is going to come in a moment and pray for and do our missionary highlights. I think it's also appropriate, Brother Ken, be the one to pray, as I know Brother Ken's been encouraging Pastor for a number of years about this, and it's wonderful to see this dream and this desire come to pass. And really, this does fit also with our missions outreach. This is an opportunity that our church has to extend our ministry. Pastor now has an open door into the lives of these sailors and some Marines, the opportunity to speak Christ to them in their time of need. And so we're going to pray when Brother Ken Ken prays in a moment. He's going to pray also a prayer of dedication for our pastor as he goes to training at the end of this week.
It's appropriate that we're praying for missionaries, and this opportunity the pastor has of going as a chaplain in the Navy and ministering to sailors and Marines is a mission field that is greatly needed someone there to fill it. And I know you folks that have been in the military know the importance of this opportunity and the importance of our pastor can do in this field. He will be going to a school in Newport, Rhode Island, to the officer development school, and he will learn traditions and etiquette and history of the Navy and all kinds of things like that to better help him serve with the chaplaincy there. So. Let's pray for our pastor and for our missionaries, Ray and Anita Bradley, in Peru and Ecuador, and Ed and Mary Frampton with IBJM. So let's go to prayer. Father, thank you for what you have done for us, giving us salvation and saving us from our conditions that we would be in, and we'd be condemned to hell forever if it wasn't for the sacrifice of your Son. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to send our pastor to this mission field in the military. Father, bless him, strengthen him, and use him mightily in the lives of sailors and in Marines that he comes in contact with. Father, bless him. We also ask a blessing for Ray and Anita Bradley in Peru in their challenges they face in their field there, and also for Ed and Mary Frampton as they lead IBJM in their endeavors in a Jewish community around the world. Thank you, Father, for opportunities that we have as a church to minister through these people. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Standing together, we're going to sing the hymn, The Power of the Cross. Standing together, The Power of the Cross. Excuse me, The Power of the Cross.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. It's the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, bore the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead or raised in life, finished the victor's cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written on the wounds, for through his suffering I am free. Death is crushed in death, life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, tonight we come to this Lord's table, and as we come to this Lord's table, this was planned for Sunday night before this Family Matters conference that is to come. We have an evangelist coming, Dr. Young, whom really God has, I've watched his ministry for a number of years and been so pleased with the hand of the Lord it seems to be upon him. And as we come into a week like this and the days that we have planned and prayed for, and we're expecting God to work so wonderfully and powerfully, this is more than just an event, a series of meetings. This is a spiritual battle. And so in preparing for it, we are coming to the Lord's table, because when you come to the Lord's table, excuse me, sorry for that, it brings you face to face with your relationship with the Lord. Where do you really stand before the Lord? And it brings us face to face with our relationship with other brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the body, and other people in our lives. And so as we come to this table, sometimes you'll hear it called communion. Excuse me. And I don't really personally use the term communion, because it goes back to my background. And in my background, I grew up in a place that had a lot of Lutherans, a lot of Catholics. My wife came from a Catholic background. And this is something that the Catholics used and had a very different meaning than this table used. And so I prefer to use the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table.
But sometimes it's called communion. And it's called that because when you come to this table, it brings you into communion with the Lord and into communion with other brothers and sisters in the Lord in the church. So tonight, what we're going to do is I'm going to preach a little bit, just a little bit, and then I'm going to have the men pray. We have four deacons here tonight, and four of these deacons are going to pray. And I'll give you, as I open the scriptures, I'll give you some guidance on what to pray, and then these men are going to lead us in prayer. And then we will, in time, come to the Lord's table. So we begin with this tonight. We come, begin, that this table of the Lord is a time of remembrance. And I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn in your New Testament to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us about this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you'll notice when you find it, verse 24 and then verse 25, and I'll give you a moment to get there. So the Apostle Paul writes this about that first Lord's table as God gives him direct revelation about it. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And this harkens back to the night when Jesus sits around the table with the disciples. It is their last supper together before he is taken and crucified. And as he sits with the 12, they celebrate the traditional Jewish Passover. And as he comes to this Passover celebration, and he breaks the bread and they share the bread, he reminds them that this is something that symbolizes what I'm going to do for you in just a few hours when my body is broken for you. Oh, they didn't understand it. And when he gives them the cup and they share the cup, and I'm really glad, or I don't know if he shared one cup and passed it around. How many of you are glad we don't do that? Yes. But as they take the cup, this is my blood. And they didn't understand that just a few hours from this night, his body is going to be really broken. They would watch as he sheds his blood for them. And he tells them, "Now, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And they didn't understand. But he was preparing them for the time when he was gone, the Holy Spirit would come and he would build his church. And as long as the church meets, you take this table and you come to it. And each time you take the bread and you take the cup, you are remembering back to that cross. And I don't know how your imagination is. Some of you have a really great imagination. Others of us, well... But I wonder if you can try to imagine, if you can, Jesus. When you come to this table, it's more than just the bread and it's more than a cup that we can see, we hold in our hands. I hope that you'll look back and you'll think of a cross with the God-man hanging suspended between earth and heaven. The God-man taking the sin of the world upon himself and his body, manifesting just a portion of the wrath that he was enduring on that cross. It's a time of remembrance. So as we remember and reflect tonight, I want you to think about this in your own prayer time as one of the men leads us. What stirs in your heart as you remember the cross and the empty tomb? What about even as you look back at your own salvation and when you understood your need and you came to Jesus Christ? What stirs your heart of God's mercy and of his grace. Think about it, and then as you remember, then I want you as well to pray. And in this time of prayer, let's reflect on the shed blood of Christ, the broken body of our Lord, in praise and gratitude, wonder, joy, sorrow, awe, reverential fear. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, pray in our prayer of remembrance. And Brother Potter is going to come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God eternal, that before the foundation of the world, you had a plan. You knew that your creation would rebel against you, that we would follow the way of Baal and Satan, Lord. But yet, you still chose to create this world. You created man, knowing that we would betray you. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are love. And that in love, that agape love that we don't know yet, you came knowing that you were going to hang on that cross for us, for each and every one of us, for our sin, for the things that we've done against you. And Lord, that unless you came, we would have no way of escape. We would have no hope. But oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you made the way, that you came, and that you did everything perfectly in accordance to the Father's will. And even at the end, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done, Lord," meaning the Father. And thank you so much for that. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for being broken for our sin. And Lord, thank you that you didn't stay in that grave. On that third day, you arose, that you were seen by over 500, and that you ascended to the Father's right hand, where you are even now as our advocate. And we thank you that in love, you stand up for us, those who know you as Savior, and you intercede for us. Thank you for that. And just ask, Lord, that we would follow you all the days of our lives. Those of us that know you, Lord, that we would do it more fully with your help by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those that don't know you, that are sitting here even right now, I pray, Lord, that you would be speaking to them, that you would soften their hearts, that they would come to know you as their Savior too, that they might too know you as love. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Well, this table is a time of remembrance. It's also a time of reevaluation. Now, the church in Corinth was having some real problems, that there were people that were partaking of the Lord's table knowingly, not right with God, and God chose to judge them with physical judgment. In fact, if you look at your Bible, verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So because God had to, in his will and choice, impose physical judgment on some of the people in that congregation, the Apostle Paul says, would you make sure that you are willing to reevaluate your life? And tonight as we pray, you have really two questions to ask the Holy Spirit. Here are your two questions to ask the Holy Spirit. The first one is, am I right with God? The second question to ask the Holy Spirit is, am I right with other people? Where does it start? I wonder about your home. Are you right with the people in your home and your family? I wonder about within my church family, and I wonder about even outside of my church family. Can I challenge you tonight to think very deeply and very honestly with yourself, be honest with yourself, and with God, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Mims to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our Father, as we consider what Pastor has just brought to our attention, I know in my own mind, I was reminded of other passages. We've been challenged that if you can't love your brother whom you can see, how can you love God whom you cannot see? And then, Lord, we often think of, as we've been going through these parables, these earthly stories, so to speak, with a heavenly impact. I think of the passage in Psalms that he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Lord, our roots, those hidden parts, as we deepen them with you, is it not also true that you look to see that the visible part, the part other people can see, as we reach out our roots to deepen our relationship with you, should we not also reach out our branches, so to speak? Our visible, tangible, discernible behavior amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family members, both are to be healthy if we're to be right with you. So, Lord, I ask that tonight, if there's someone here with whom we need to make things right, Lord, give us the courage to do that. And if they're not here, then, Lord, give us the courage to make all determinate intention in light of our right standing with you to reach out to them, that both parts of our relationship are healthy before you. Help us to do this because of our love for you as we come to this table, and to do it because we honor the sacrifice of Christ. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness to us. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, we come to the table next. This is a time of restoration. Remember, this church had all kinds of problems, and many of their problems, at least around the table of the Lord, stemmed around interpersonal problems. In fact, you read about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now, in this I declare to you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies, another term for divisions or schisms among you. And they which are approved, that they may be made manifest among ye. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. They came together, but boy, it got worse when they came together, because they really didn't come for the Lord. It was about seeking advantage one over the other, dividing people rather than uniting with the Lord and with one another. And as you come to this portion of Scripture, there are some things that are good for us to consider, even as you pray and as we're led in a few moments by Brother Ward. Maybe you need to pray and ask this question of God. What do you need, or you ask yourself, what do you need to do, or what do I need to do to be restored to fellowship with God? God's spoken to you already, and what do you need to do to be right with God and make it right with God? What about this one, equally as challenging, maybe more so, who do you need to seek reconciliation with before you partake of the Lord's Supper in this service? Can I tell you, if there's someone here and there's an issue between you and somebody else in this building right now, in a moment we'll sing, we'll pray, we'll be even before we partake of the Lord's table. But can I tell you what you need to do is you need to get from your seat and go to that brother or sister, and the two of you slip out and find a place where you can get together and you can bring reconciliation before with one another. Then when that gets settled, come on back and enjoy the Lord's table. But you need to do it and tonight. And then I will say this: maybe you need to ask the question, who do I need to covenant with God that I will make every effort to reconcile after the service? The person isn't here, but there's somebody that God has so spoken to your heart that you need to do all you can to bring reconciliation. And you make a covenant with God. God, in faith, I am going to, with your help, do the hard right thing and seek to be restored with that person in your life. You know, Paul had a wonderful statement. He's standing before Felix, political official in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. And he has makes a statement about his own testimony. And he says, you know, I have a conscience void of offense toward God and men. Now that is a wonderful way to live. That to the best of my knowledge, there is nothing between me and God. And there's nothing, to the best of my knowledge, between me and another person. And so we're going to pray and ask God to help us. And Brother Ward is going to come and lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being willing to come to earth and die on the cross and bear the punishment for our sins. And thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to do that so that we could be reconciled with you. God, I pray that you would help each of us to evaluate our hearts and make sure that there's no sin, no barrier, nothing between us and you right now, Lord. I pray, God, that we could approach the Lord's Supper with clean hearts and having been forgiven of our sins. And God, I also pray that you would help us each to evaluate our relationships to other members of the church and other people who aren't even here. And if there's bitterness or division or any type of fighting or bad feelings, Lord, I pray that you'd move on us to make those feelings right and to restore that relationship with that person, just how you restored our relationship with you. And I ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Have you ever been disoriented for whatever reason? Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you're not thinking straight, or maybe you're on a medication or you've been sick. Or for whatever reason, you're disoriented. And when you're disoriented, nothing seems to make sense. Things don't connect right. Your mind isn't exactly clear. You're somewhat aware, but you're not. Have you had that happen? All right, good. I mean, I'm not glad. It's not good that it happened. I mean, I'm sorry that it happened, you know, but I mean, I'm glad at least some of us understand. In fact, some of us may be so disoriented all the time we don't even realize it. We think that means we're clear. In reality, oh, I hope you can get that straightened out. But, you know, what happens at the Lord's table is we become disoriented. We're not right with the Lord. We're not right with our brother or sister. There's relationships that are not right. And so we get disoriented. And when we come to the table of the Lord, this table of the Lord helps us to get reoriented. And so this is a time of reorientation. We're right with God. We're right with our brother. And now things become clear, and there's the joy that we have in fellowship with God. And as we come to this table that causes us to look to the past, the cross I look back to, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. We read it already. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Verse 25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We look back to the past. It's the cross that we look back to. We look to the future, the coming of the Lord, verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And in the present, this table calls to me and to you. It's a call I must adjust to. In my life, God, you've revealed things that need to be made right. And he calls and speaks, and we heed him, and we restore and reorient our life to the Lord. We get right with people. And for us to go forward in our lives, we must be restored and reoriented. And in this time of prayer tonight, I want you to ask God the Holy Spirit the following questions, and Brother Walton will lead us in prayer. What adjustments do I have to make, Lord, to go forward with you? Remember, we've learned that you can't stay where you are and go with God. You're going to have to make some changes. When you go with God, go forward. There are changes in your life always need to be made to go with God. And then another question is this. As I make choices in my life, what choice will I wish I had made when I stand before Jesus Christ at His coming? Isn't that a great question? So tonight, ask that question. Lord, I have choices that I'm making in my life. When I finally see Jesus when He comes, and I look back, what is there a choice that you're leading me to make tonight that when I get there, I'll be glad I did or I wish I would have? Why don't you make that choice now? I'd much rather you be glad you did than look back and say, oh, I wish I would have. So Brother Walton's going to come lead us in prayer.
Our Father, as we come to you and consider these very weighty thoughts, we're so grateful that we can call you our Father and know that as our Father, you are loving and forgiving and restoring. And in all of the times and places and ways that we fail you, you are still ready to love and forgive and restore. We're grateful that again and again you allow us to start again, to start fresh, to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction, to step off again on a path of seeking to serve you and to please you. And so it's our prayer that tonight, as we think about this table, the sacrifice of Christ, the love of God, that you would refocus our thoughts. We're so easily distracted. We're so easily lifted up in pride and hurt and angered by things that should not affect us in that way. And so, Lord, help us to orient our thoughts, our emotions, in the light of your word. And as you speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit in this time, we pray that we would obey and that we would do the good and the right things that you lead us to. Father Pastor has asked us to consider a really significant question. Am I making choices in my life, or is there a choice I need to make tonight that when I stand before you, I will be glad that I made or wish that I had made? And Lord, for some of us tonight, there is a crossroads choice that you are laying on our hearts. And so we pray that we would be obedient to those things that you, by your Holy Spirit, prompt us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's stand together, and we're going to sing in our hymnal. We're going to sing, I think it'll be projected, 371. It's a song that you know well. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. We're going to sing a verse of that, maybe two. I'll just see how it goes. But as we sing, if there's someone you need to see, would you make your way and touch that person and say, let's go talk? Here at Stanley Heights, the way we practice the Lord's Supper, if you are a person who's saved, you're, as far as you know, right with God, you're welcome to share with us, though you may not be a member here. You're welcome to share in the Lord's table with us. Sometimes there are folks that just aren't comfortable and with doing so, and so we're very You're welcome to stay, but if you want to slip out, you're welcome to do that as well. We want to just put you in the best, most comfortable situation possible. So as we prepare finally to come to this table, let's sing together. This song is our prayer. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Let's sing one more verse of that song, and we may not even have it up there on that PowerPoint. Is there another PowerPoint, another verse that up there, Matthew? All right, if there's not, go ahead and have a seat. That's fine. There we go. Go ahead and have a seat. It'll be fine. Go ahead and have a seat. We'll continue on from there. Now we're going to have one more time of self-examination and prayer, and then we will serve the Lord's table. So let's pray. My Lord, the psalmist describes this prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And this is our prayer. So as we come, it is with such hearts that are so full. And as the men of lettuce in prayer, we have prayed with them, and we have sought you together. And now as we come to this table, we pray that Jesus would be magnified. And so we ask this in his name, amen. Men, would you stand? Serve the bread. Let's sing, King of my life, I crown thee now. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Sing that song, Calvary covers it all. Far dearer than world can impart is the message that came to my heart. Alone for my sin did I.
covers it all. My past with its sin and shame.
You can be seated.
And despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Sing at the cross a verse in the chorus of it. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now
I am happy. When he had, for this I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Man, would you stand? We'll serve the cup. Sing, I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
You may serve the cup.
To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Be a sweet, sweet sound in your
ear. Sing, I know whom I have believed.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Thank you.
going to sing How Great Thou Art. The first verse we often will sing, but I want us to sing first the second verse that takes us right to the cross, and then we'll sing the last verse that takes us to the coming of the Lord. So we're going to sing, and when I think that God his love, or excuse me, his son not bearing. Let's sing that together. And when I think that God his son not sparing, think to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou, may be seated, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And Jesus said, this cup is the new testament or covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Then the Apostle Paul adds, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace, how great the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now, when we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first came.
And all God's people said, amen. Good night, blessings. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Jesus said to those who believed on him in John chapter 8, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We join our God in desiring that you will know the liberating power of the truth of God's word as you apply it to your life. We would love to hear from you and find out what God is doing in your life. You can go to our website, stanleyheights.org. There you can contact us with your prayer requests. You can ask a question. You can find a free resource to study the Bible as a guide in your journey. You can get other sermons and other free resources that are available for you. While we're talking, may I ask you this question? Have you made the most important decision of your life to turn to Jesus Christ and receive him by faith to be your personal Savior? Oh, if you haven't, would you do so right now? And if you would like some more guidance in that decision, you can go to our website, stanleyheights.org/eternity, and you'll find some help that will guide you in that decision. Again, thank you for joining us. I look forward to hearing from you soon.